Not long ago, in a far-off corner of a place called the Internet, a revolution was born. Forged in the fires of common experience, the survivors of a mysterious movie known only as
A Talking Cat
came together. Their purpose, to dissect this fascinating failure of a film and broadcast their findings through the cosmos in hopes that future generations might learn from their mistakes. Some would call them heroes, others would call them mad, but despite the grueling road ahead of them, the group would take up the Sisyphean task and become a talking cast?
Are they adventurers or sinner as a savior's or? Are they demented, love the punishment? I can't be sure. But one thing I do know is that the mission here to force to make you laugh so hard that you'll be pissing on your kitchen floor.
Hey everybody, and welcome to A Talking Cast, the A Talking Cat podcast that no one really asked for, but we're going to give to you anyway. I am Clint from Alcoholywood. Do we want to just go around the table?
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm Ashley. I'm not from anywhere.
Oh.
I'm Sarah. I do A Talking Cast.
Okay.
I'm Nathan from The Dissolve.
Oh, and we are very happy to have you here, Nathan, as well, because you've been wanting to do this for a while now, right?
I have, yeah. I have indeed. I don't want to brag or anything, but I would like to say that I have played a crucial role in the popularity of A Talking Cat. I discovered this movie a couple of years ago, and it blew my mind, and I wanted to spread the gospel of A Talking Cat everywhere that I possibly could. So I remember actually tweeting that the Flophouse and We Hate Movies should both cover A Talking Cat? ! And they both did. And now here we are on a podcast devoted exclusively to A Talking Cat?
That's right.
It's like you've bent reality.
I know.
Especially in this area, because you're not the first person in town who's been like, you have to watch this movie.
Yeah. Who are these other people?
Oh, we had a friend.
Our friend Lee.
Simply everyone.
Yeah. No, but for
it's
real.
Literally our friend Lee.
It's got internet going nuts.
Yeah. A craft fair a couple of years ago, and this girl who had really awesome merchandise you have to watch this movie.
Yeah. I've actually, I think, talked about it before, but we're not friends at the time. We became friends partly because she said, you have to watch A Talking Cat.
Awesome. Yeah. Two hearts
but
meeting.
She was selling Christmas cards with Tommy Wiseau on them.
Wow.
And she's like, oh, you like Tommy Wiseau? Let me tell you about this movie. And this was, I guess, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
It was right before Christmas a couple years ago. And yeah, I did really like the movie.
That's awesome. Yeah, there are certain movies that you just find, you're like, everybody in the world must see this because how on earth can this exist?
This one is episode 67, minute 66. And I don't know what it is about me, but in the times that I guessed, I think I keep requesting the most abstract minutes of the movie.
It's a very abstract movie.
Yeah. Like, I've done the I've done the minute where it's just a car driving down a road.
Wanted to do that episode so bad.
Oh.
Well, in film school, you know, you always talk about dead time, you know, and I was embraced by Robert Bresson, Robert Altman, you know, just these ideas of just like
all
nothing is happening.
Yeah.
And this really takes that to that next level.
Yeah.
Because you literally will just have a scene of just somebody like walking across the street and they're buying a car.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know, buy something on the computer, but then they have to get their credit card out.
Yeah.
They have to make sure that the expiration date is not expired.
Yeah, it's also the Birdemic school of things happening.
Much, how can we kill time is the fundamental question behind this film.
Exactly. And so in this particular method of killing time, we get, this is one of, I believe, 2 minutes that are going to be dedicated to the montage. What?
4 minutes.
Holy
all 4 of them. So the minute.
Is this the first one though? Or is this the second one?
The minute before, I think it's the minute before this one. But it may be 2 minutes before this is the setup where they start. And it's like, here, let me explain how this app works.
Yeah.
And then there's 2 solid minutes of just scanning clothes.
Yeah.
And then the scene ends with Chris trying on clothes. And it's basically a 4 minute long montage scene that doesn't have a montage.
Yeah.
And just think, just put that in your brain and think about how much better this would have been if there had been a montage.
No.
Yes.
No.
I think it would have been so fantastic.
You would have gone to the brat school.
Yeah.
exactly. A very terrible movie making.
But whereas
I kind of like that, because the thing about montages is that they condense things. They cause things to take less time. Whereas the whole purpose of this movie is, how can this last as long as possible?
We only have 10 pages of script.
Exactly. It's like the director just being like, slower.
Yes.
Slower. Slower. Can you walk backwards?
Right.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
And we've got 85 minutes of screen time to fill.
Yes. And so.
And we only have 72 minutes of establishing shots.
Right. We've pulled from the entirety of the Circuit City HDTV demo reel.
Well, and I don't. Too that just this director keeps working with the same people.
Yeah.
So
he has a stable of actors, like Scorsese.
Exactly. Or Preston Sturges or Frank Capra.
Is Johnny Whitaker his De Niro?
He is his De Niro. Because Johnny Whitaker, who was a child star, and I think we were talking about this before, but he's one of those child stars that seems to have the same face, only surrounded by bloat as an adult, and the same hairstyle, too. So he looks like a cross between John Wayne Gacy and Ronald McDonald without his clown makeup, even more disturbing. And he has like this giant bright red pompadour as well.
Actually, I would call him Morley the Hamburglar.
No, he looks like if someone bleached.
The Hamburglar has like personality, and you can tell that like underneath that mask, he is a sensitive person.
I think he has a Hamburglar body with a Ronald McDonald. This is what all the women are looking for.
If we're going for the McDonald's canon of characters, I would say he's more like a bleached Grimace that someone put in the microwave for like 10 seconds.
I'm just obsessed with the idea now of somebody looking for somebody with a Grimace body and a Hamburglar face.
That's a Craigslist post.
Or an awesome song.
That's
lyric.
What I want.
All right, but I guess we'll go to the minute at hand.
Yes.
So we're just watching an entire minute of the same camera shot. Like it's like he decided to do like 7 takes of the same shot instead of picking one that was the best one. He's like, I like all of them. Let's just
narrow it down.
One of the things that, again, there are so many wonderful surprises about A Talking Cat. Yeah. One of which was, I watched this movie for the first time and thought, oh my God, this is insane.
Yeah.
This man has clearly never even seen a motion picture before,
yeah.
let alone made a movie before. I'll go on IMDb and see how many movies he's made.
Yes.
And then I go on IMDb and I'm like, oh, he's made every movie before. The man literally has directed, if you look online, over 100 movies.
Yeah. He's not unlike Takashi Miike.
Yeah. or Fassbender.
Yes.
In that respect, he just cranks them out.
It's quality.
Different genres.
It doesn't matter, right?
Exactly.
Everybody wants quantity these days.
Exactly. I think Johnny Whitaker is like the voice of a talking animal in a different one. There's like a talking mule or something.
Is he the one in the horse movie, or is he the magic puppy in... puppy / a Halloween.
I know a talking
puppy.
Pony is the one that has the Power Ranger in it. Yeah. That's all I know.
Wow.
And there's
a new one with Jack Russell that teams up with a monkey to become wrestlers.
Wow.
And I think if a monkey
he's a Jack Russeller.
It isn't wrestling. It's just you're being attacked by a friggin' monkey.
That's right.
If you're like wrestling with a wolf, it's like you're just wrestling for your life. This is not a sport anymore.
Oh God, it's a fight to the death.
Yeah.
All right. Well, steering it back to the actual book.
Yes.
The actual book thing. I have no idea. The mechanism for this baffles me.
So the idea is that he develops an app.
Yeah.
That chooses clothing outfits for people.
But Tina makes it.
Yeah.
Right?
It's supposed to be like. If you've seen the movie Clueless,
yes.
I assume
both
of you gentlemen.
Yes, I would say the movie is better than this. Yes.
Yes.
It's the closet that Cher has at the beginning of Clueless.
Yeah.
Where, except in that, it's like a game where she has to figure out if something matches.
And
or
it's
not.
Already set up. It's like this is the precursor to what eventually
this is,
became
they're beta
Cher's closet.
This
is
right.
How. Yeah, exactly.
Also, the movie Clueless is from 1996.
Well, no,
we're dealing with some technology.
I think Clueless came out before Tina was even born.
Probably.
So.
But
again,
still,
bending the time and space reality, I think that this is like.
But this is like her big idea, and it also involves this apparatus that is definitely a book light, but they pretend is not. And so, like,
but it looks to me like that, like that, the black light that they use on those,
like,
Dateline, yeah, yeah. Just, where they're seen in every, yeah. Pretty much.
It's a jizz checker. Like,
how much jizz is in your hotel room? You'll be shocked. It's a lot of jizz.
But they're just checking the tag, so it's like we don't think it's on the clothes.
The thing is, they're not even like running their. They're just running it over like a random part of the item of clothing. It looks like to me.
It's. I yeah. think. I think it's supposed to be the tag,
I think it's
right?
It's supposed to be, but it's not.
No, well, I don't think any of those clothes have tags.
See, I wonder if at any point in this movie, an actor said, "Now, what's my motivation in this?"
Yes, and also, like, what is the tag checking? Is it like it's tapping into like the network of like every piece of clothing ever made? And it's like,
yeah, if you know the content makeup, it's like 98% cotton and like 2% rayon, then obviously it's like a blue blazer with like silver buttons,
right?
Yeah, that's how fabric
I think
works.
it's just checking for jizz.
Yeah, it's just checking for jizz. That's all it
which,
is
which at that house I would imagine is everywhere.
Looks like a Jackson policy.
Exactly. It looks like a black and giant black and white glow in the dark poster.
Yes, basically. Oh, but yeah, but this is happening in the meantime, like, well, because it's always the same shot. It's always a close up of whomever is on the bench slowly pushing out as we hear like the bleep. Bleep,
and then the slide whistle.
Yeah, the slide whistle. Yeah,
and then, what is the purpose of the slide whistle?
It's so wacky,
jaunty.
Goofy.
But, yeah, what's funny is happening?
It's whimsical.
It's because in a usual montage, you would have some sort of lyrical narration, right? Because they play the song.
So this is their
like,
take it to the limit.
Yeah.
Girls just want to have fun, right?
They have like a very abstract,
laboriously tag. I didn't know what it is.
Yeah,
while staring grimly.
No, really, yeah. This is a fun activity. There's a slide whistle.
I get the impression that we're also supposed to feel like they're bonding over this activity.
But
like,
they're not
even
in the same frame.
Right. They're not even in the same dimension.
There are five actors in this movie.
Yeah.
They're like, we can get two of them in the same scene. We got magic.
Yeah. Ooh. But the thing is, like, because as soon as each shot ends, like, they fade into a new one where it's like them pushing back into the next person. And then also fading. And Johnny Whitaker keeps like fading into his son and vice versa. And that's a weird kind of visual thing. Where it's like, are they becoming each other?
Yeah.
You can see what Johnny Whitaker was 30 years ago.
Oh, no.
I think it's
time is not cruel.
Yeah, it's a cruel
time is not that cruel, Johnny Whitaker.
Yeah. And we're also seeing.
We mourn for you.
Yeah. And we're also seeing him get dressed, I guess. Like, this is him discovering his fashion sense, but like. His clothes are like this ugly brown blazer and like this.
What about the balloon pants?
That's his dream. That's his dream outfit.
Yeah.
Here's my question though. Uh-huh. The father has already had the makeover, clearly, because he's wearing the blazer and the button up shirt.
Oh, clearly.
Where you can
he looks
see his
so much better.
Pompadour.
Yeah. And so then he's talking about, you know, do you think like that tie, the purple and pink,
the
whatever.
Purple and blue tie, I think he says, and the balloon pants.
Would go together. But he's already made over, so is that a suggestion for the son?
The point of the app is to pick the clothes for you.
Right. Yeah.
Why is he like, why don't
clothes?
We try this? I'm like, no, the reason you're doing this is because your decisions are terrible.
And that's why a montage would be great. I'm sorry. I really wish, in my head, it's like Chris comes out of this closet and he's wearing like an astronaut costume. And,
well,
like,
and then they cut back to him and say, no.
When you do your remake, when you do your shot by shot remake of A Talking Cat. You can totally turn this into a
montage.
Will Vince Vaughn be the dad?
He will. Vince Vaughn will be the dad and Hache will be the son. Of course. It'll be very gender...
With Viggo Mortensen as Duffy. Like it.
But he's just crawling around, they're not going to get an actual cat.
Yeah. I think it should be Eric Roberts just in a cat suit.
Yes.
Like smoking a cigarette. Yeah. Being like, eh, I'm a magical cat. You gotta go to the magical forest. can I get paid now? I got a coke habit to feed.
I mean, I still like the prevailing theory that he was like in his bathrobe making French toast while he was saying.
Oh, totally.
All the time.
I have no doubt whatsoever that this was a one take performance recorded in less than 10 minutes
done
over a cell phone.
Wasn't that confirmed? No.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I think it. Yeah, yeah it was. It yeah. took like less
like
than 10 an hour,
to 15
probably
minutes or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in. His like living room or something. Right. I always pictured him on his couch, just like, just woken up,
like, I like to think that Julia was reading the other lines for him. It's like, hey, sis, come over. I need your help doing lines, running lines for this movie.
And Emma, I want you to act out the part of the cat.
Yes.
Oh, it would have been so dramatic. They're like both being really dramatic because they're
Julia Roberts comes over with a laser pointer. But yeah, what else? What other crazy shit is happening in this scene? Well, I mean, I think the ugliest yeah. part of Johnny Whitaker's outfit is the blue shirt that is sort of open. You can't kind of tell, like, there's a button missing or he didn't button something, or I just think that it's the gap between buttons and it's just his girth
for that.
Yeah, it's a lot of tum that he is exposing.
It's a big,
like, a lot
swath of open shirt. Like, I wonder if he, like,
it's like squeezing dough too tightly in saran wrap and it splits and so it's like pushing out. Yeah, it's just horrifying. And I mean, you know, and then with, like, the balloon pants line, it's more evidence that, like, for me, that I'm pretty sure Johnny Whitaker just didn't know his lines whenever he was saying it. He always gives that pause. He always gives that stammery pause before, like, he says what he's supposed to say. Where he's like, oh, hey, what is glances at cue card. Rest of line.
Well, as we mentioned before, he literally is looking at a computer.
Yeah.
And here's a
there are easier ways to do this.
Here's a trick actors can use when they need to memorize dialogue, or rather, when they don't want to memorize dialogue.
Yeah.
Look at the dialogue on a computer screen. But then read it off of that computer screen.
The computer is you're more busy. Natural. It's calculating clothes.
It's very confused. A calculating computer?
A MacBook can only handle so much. It's only
one
got so much RAM.
Program at a time, please.
But yeah. So, I mean, like, that's the problem with this minute, is that's pretty much all that happens. It's
well, the thing that's amazing about A Talking Cat, and I think this kind of captures that, is half of what makes A Talking Cat amazing is that literally nothing happens. Yes. I thought they could get away with making people just, like, walk down the street, or they make an appetizer, or they, like, read through the TV listings. And then the other half of the time, the craziest batshit stuff is happening.
Yeah.
And that makes the nothing happening seem even crazier by comparison.
Right. Like, there has to be something to this. Like,
yeah,
why?
Like, this is going somewhere. And the other thing I would do is, like, your mind keeps going to these different places suggested by this bizarre dialogue.
Yeah.
Balloon pans, toe-free appetizer.
But these are clothes that they own. Like, so they already have this stuff. He already has balloon pants.
I'm picturing them as, like, MC Hammer pants, but for a clown. Balloon pant is.
I wouldn't doubt that he would fall back on clowning if his, like, multi-million dollar deal didn't fall through. Like, but like,
well, I made.
But like a rodeo
dollars.
Clown, though.
I guess I'm just gonna sit around, wait for a magical cat to save me.
Yeah.
Again, at the risk of humble bragging, I think I got Greg Sestero. To watch this movie.
Nice.
And Greg Sestero actually was directed by David Decroteau in Puppet Master Retro.
That's right. That's that
one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was like, you've literally made two movies, and you've been directed by Tommy Wiseau and David Decroteau. You've started in, like, two of the craziest movies ever.
So he just needs to retire now, because where are you going from
there?
He's
peaked,
After, you know, Dave Franco plays him on screen.
I think that's pretty much all we really have to say about this minute. And also, we want to save something for the other folks who are going to do the next minute that is the exact same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. It's beautiful. It's a fascinating, like, 5 minute set of just absolutely
and the thing about this is almost an experimental avant-garde movie. Like, there are specific moments where it's like, how little action can you have in a motion picture?
Yudorowski
and still
done
qualify.
This.
And seriously, there's just, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's just like, if somebody was in film school and this was their student film, I'd be like, see where
what
you're kind of going with it.
Yeah.
But
What a clever subversion of talking animal film tropes.
Exactly.
The trope that things happen in talking animals. What a clever subversion. Oh, man. Oh, I guess I have one last question. Because Johnny Whitaker gets, quote-unquote, better at clothes.
That's the name of his podcast. Yes. Johnny Whitaker is getting better at clothes.
Yes. It's a great podcast.
We're sponsored by Balloon Pants. Yeah. and toe-free appetizers.
And Audible.
You should never have to see toes when you're being served appetizer.
Right.
Unless you're into that.
Right? I'm not here to judge. But does the kid get better at clothes? Because I think he's wearing a different outfit,
yeah,
right?
He gets way better.
Yeah.
But it's not in this minute.
So I vaguely remember him just being naked the entire time.
Yes.
But yeah.
Well, there you go.
He goes from dressing like a grungy twink to dressing like a J. Crew twink. Like,
yeah. It's a lateral twink move.
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say it's better. It's just like he goes
to different twink school.
Yeah. Like going from like Hot Topic to J. Crew.
Yeah, there you go. Boom. All right. Well, so ends episode 67, minute 66 of A Talking Cast. I have been Clint.
I've been Ashley. I'm glad that this was my minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Sarah still.
I am still Nathan, and I'm glad that this thing exists, both this podcast and this movie, because they both prove that we live in a very, very, very silly world.
Indeed. And we're very, very glad to have all three of you. Well,
thanks for having us.
All right. Well, you can reach out to A Talking Cast on Twitter at A Talking Cast and also on Facebook.com/A Talking Cast. And you can also listen to these episodes at a-talking-cast.soundcloud.com. This has been A Talking Cast.
Bye.
Minute by minute, that's what they'll be diving in to shed some clarity on this hilariously failed attempt. So grab a friend and crack a beer with them and listen in. A Talking Cast is about to begin.
That was episode 67 of A Talking Cast, live from Chicago with Clint Worthington, Sarah Cantor, Ashley Havelt, and Nathan Raven.
Edited by Darren Husted. Music by Casey Trimble. Voiceover by John Kowaleski. Artwork by Josh Hollis. Executive producers Sarah Cantor and Darren Husted. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. This podcast is not affiliated with Rapid Heart Productions. A Talking Cat is owned by Rapid Heart Productions. No infringement is intended.
Another of those is Easy Rider.
Yeah,
The Ride Back, which is you're talking about, you know, movies that nobody ever asked for. It was the sequel to Easy Rider, filmed 40 years later, involving Peter Fonda's brother, starring the lawyer who sued to get the rights to make the movie. Seriously, all movies should star the lawyers who got the rights to star in movies.
It's a journey of love.
Right. Oh man,
I think if you're a lawyer, you should be able to sue to get whatever you want.